Now, the second premise of the mastermind is this. An active alliance of two or more minds in a spirit of perfect harmony for the attainment of a common objective stimulates each individual's mind to a higher degree of courage than that which is ordinarily experienced and prepares the way for that state of mind known as faith. If you've ever had the experience of sitting down in what you might call a bull session or a round table session and starting in to talk about any problem or any subject, you'll find that as the discussion goes on, you'll learn more and more about that subject. And oftentimes, the man that will come forth with the most enlightening conversation on the subject will be the one that knows the least about it. Because the harmony of minds enables each individual mind to tune in on sources of information not available to you under any other circumstance. That mastermind alliance stimulates the mind and jumps it up, steps it up, where you can tune in on the ether, which perhaps connects your thinking brain with infinite intelligence. That's a theory. It might even be a fact. The third premise, a mastermind alliance properly conducted stimulates each mind in the alliance to move with enthusiasm, with personal initiative, with imagination and courage to a degree far above that which the individual experiences when moving without such an alliance. If you have the right kind of mastermind allies, when the going is hard, when you have problems that you don't know how to solve, you just go around and get your mastermind allies together and start talking about that problem. Start talking with the feeling that somewhere along in the conversation, somebody will come up with the answer. And you'll be surprised oftentimes at the person who does come up with it, maybe the one you least expect. And the third premise, a mastermind alliance properly conducted stimulates each mind in the alliance to move with enthusiasm, personal initiative, imagination, and courage to agree far above that which the individual experiences when moving without such an alliance. I duplicate that because I want you to keep it in mind. And the fourth premise, to be effective, a mastermind alliance must be active. It's not just enough to form a group and say, well, we're going to get together, and that's my mastermind group. It must be active. The mere association of minds is not enough. They must engage in pursuit of a definite purpose, and they must move with perfect harmony. And they must do it continuously. And without the factor of harmony, the alliance may be nothing more than ordinary cooperation or friendly coordination of effort, which is something vastly different from the mastermind. The mastermind gives one full access to the spiritual powers of the other members of that alliance. The spiritual powers, now mind you. A great number of years ago, I had the privilege of dining at the Chicago Athletic Club with the Big Six of Chicago. Now, the Big Six were William Wrigley Jr., A.D. Lasker, the owner of the Lord & Thomas Advertising Agency, Mr. Rich and Mr. Hertz, who founded the Yellow Taxicab Company, Mr. McCulloch, who owned the Parmalee Transfer and Express business in Chicago, the largest of its kind in the world, and John R. Thompson, who owned the chain of stores. All of those men started, not too many years before I'd met them, without any capital, started on the basis of meeting every Saturday night, going into a discussion of each man's definite major purpose. And each one had a definite object he wanted to attain, and nobody had any money. And when I met them, the combined wealth of those six men was around $25 million. They had all become successful. They had become successful by lending one another the mental attitude wrapped up in this principle of a mastermind. It's an astounding thing what can happen when two or more people get together and continuously meet and discuss the things that the two of them want to do. And incidentally, you as an individual may have one objective and the man who is in the mastermind alliance with you may have another. You don't have to have the same objective at all. But if you work together in a spirit of friendly harmony, you will find that you will get results. The fifth premise, it's a matter of established record that all individual success is based upon any kind of achievement above mediocrity are attained through the mastermind principle and not by individual effort alone. Most successes are the result of personal power, and personal power of sufficient proportions to enable one to rise above mediocrity is not possible without the application of the mastermind principle. I had the privilege during Franklin D. Roosevelt's first administration of helping to build for the president and his administration perhaps the most astounding and outstanding mastermind alliance this or any other nation has ever known. And the object of that mastermind alliance was to stop the stampede of fear. You remember after Roosevelt went into office, shortly after that, they had to close down all of the banks because they were having runs on banks, and people were in such a state of fear we had to do something drastic about it. We had to organize all of the public opinion molding machinery of the country and place it back at the president without bias, without prejudice, without regard to political affiliation. And here are the six factors that went into that mastermind alliance. First of all, both houses of Congress working in harmony with the president. For the first time in the history of this nation, we had both houses of Congress working tooth and toenail in harmony with FDR. They forgot about political brands. They forgot about political expediency. They became as one behind the President of the United States. And the President of the United States at that time and in that emergency had no brand as a Democrat or a Republican. Second, the majority of the newspaper publishers of America. We induced them to take the scare headlines of business depression out of the paper and to supplant them with the better lines of business recovery. Start talking about business recovery instead of business depression. And then we wrote appropriate news items for the newspapers and sent them out all over the country. And as far as I know, no paper ever refused to print exactly what we sent out. And third, the radio station operators of the country. They were sent material to use, and they used it just as it was sent. They got on the idea of business recovery. They got back at the president. And number four, the churches of all denominations. That was one of the most beautiful things, ladies and gentlemen, I have ever hoped to see in all of my life. It was Catholics and Protestants, Jews and Gentiles, all getting behind the President of the United States and forgetting for the time being whether they were Catholics or Protestants, whether they were Jews or Gentiles. It was one of the most magnificent things I ever hoped to witness. Number five, leaders of both major political parties. I'm not talking about the rank and file, I'm talking about the leaders. Did you know that out of several hundred congressmen and senators, the real leaders who manage your affairs and mine and who are responsible for them consist of less than 50 people? Less than 50. The rest are just like sheep. The real leaders are the ones that set the policy and carry out the policy. We got these leaders of both political parties for the first time in the history of this nation to get back of FDR. They didn't just stop to question whether he was a Democrat or whether he's a Republican, whether he's going to help their party or not. They got back of him 100%. They stayed back of him long enough to get this depression stopped, to get this stampede stopped. And then the most magnificent thing of all, perhaps, number six, a majority of the American people of all political and religious leanings. The rank and file. And how did we get to those American people? Well, we got through them through those five public opinion molding sources that I've just mentioned, especially the radio and the newspapers and the pulpits. Now, had it not been for the organization of the machinery through which public opinion in this country was organized and put back of Roosevelt under the mastermind principle, I'm telling you that the results he got in his first administration never would have been attained in that administration, if in any one of them. Here was an alliance of many millions of people, which in the aggregate produced power such as this nation had never observed previously. And it was sufficient to stop a national stampede of fear and averted what might otherwise have become a national catastrophe or a rebellion of the people. Andrew Carnegie and his industrial staff, consisting of more than 20 business associates, formed the most outstanding and the most effective business mastermind that I have ever known. I found that same principle obtaining it all the way down through all of the experiences that I had with men. Namely, that the men who were succeeding in the greatest way used the brains and the personality and the influence of other people.